message is guardrails. Guardrails, which was unusual, but this is a continuation of my message that I preached called Ecclesia, Called Out Ones. And sometimes in our walk, we realize, okay, I hear you, Pastor. I hear you, Bishop. I am to be called out. I'm to be different from the world. But how do I do that? I don't know any other way. How is it? And some of these messages might come across as hard or harsh. I'm sorry. Sometimes when a father loves his children, he's got to bring correction. Sometimes when a shepherd has a sheep that's wandering off, he's got to go get him. He's got to use the pole to go get him. Sometimes things that we say in here from our teacher or professor we don't like, but in the end, we're better off for it if we learn from it. Amen? I want the best for everyone here. I want you to live a blessed life. I want you to experience the fullness of God's call for you and His anointing. I want you to be used mightily of the Lord. I want to hear testimonies of you praying for people and they're being healed from being sick. I want to hear testimonies of you laying your hands on their eyes and them the sight returning. Because that's for all of His people, not just the pastors or the elders, all of His people, all of His disciples. Are you a disciple? Then those promises are for you. Even to pray for the dead and raise them. Now, Pastor, you're going too far. No. Let me, if I could, just for a moment, preach the Word of God. I know some will say, well, that was just for the olden days back then. No, God said, I am the same yesterday, today, and forever. He says, I am the Lord, and I do not change. If He did it then, He does it now. We heard a testimony this morning. Mr. Pass, we looked. That thing we're supposed to biopsy isn't there. We have the x-rays. We have the scans. It was there. We're looking for it. It's not there anymore. Why? Daryl and prayer plus God equals no more cyst. Amen? Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. So in the journey of being called out ones, we have to establish guardrails. Guardrails keep you on the narrow road. When I'm talking about guardrails, it's not just guardrails. How many have seen those rumble strips in the road where they cut them out? And if you wander over too much, it starts making that terrible noise. Some of you just turn the radio up a little louder, but it's supposed to, you're not supposed to drive on that part. So the ones that are laughing are the ones who wander over there. That's me oftentimes. I'm like, look at that deer. Those are there to help keep us accountable, to help keep us on track. Oftentimes, guardrails and boundaries and things of this nature, there's two types of people in this world. The first type are, they find these things to be unnecessary, annoying, and restrictive. If anyone takes notes, now's the time to start taking notes. First type of person who finds boundaries and guardrails and structure and order and accountability, they find it unnecessary, annoying, and restrictive. Don't tell me what to do. I know how to do it. I can handle this. Yes, you can, until you can't. And when you can't, it's destructive. Not only to you, but all those around you. The second, these are the more mature. These are the people who have come to the wisdom of the Lord. These are the people who have some experience under their belt. These people find structure and order and boundaries and accountability. They find them important, necessary, valuable, and they are thankful for them. They're thankful for them. I used to be the first listed. Don't tell me what to do. I got this. Quit checking on me. What, you don't trust me? Oh, I can feel it already. I'm stepping on someone's toes. Why do you need to check my phone? Don't you trust me? Oh, because the reason why you're arguing is because I need to check it. I hear amen. Oh, every woman should be shouting me down in here right now. Every parent. It's not to make them more slick and figure out more apps and different things how to fool you. No, no, no. The accountability, the boundaries, these things are to protect you, not to protect you from having fun. Because we know sin is fun for a season until it's not anymore. And when it's not anymore, it's destructive. Sin separates you from God. Sin leads to death. It's important. And when you realize that, you will act differently towards it. I'm glad that the Lord changed me. There was a time I didn't want the accountability. I didn't want it. I got this. Now I welcome it. I welcome it. Why? Because honest man expects to be believed. When he's not, he lets time prove him right. And not only time, but the structure and boundaries that you set in place. When someone brings an accusation or a slander or something else, I say, I got these things in place that protect me. You can say what you want, but I've already preemptively established these structures, these boundaries, these orders, these things. And therefore, because I did those things, I'm a lot safer. I know where my family comes from, there's hills in Puerto Rico. Where my family's from, they're the Puerto Rican hillbillies. They're way up there. And there's winding roads to get up in the mountains. And sometimes the roads are two lane, which we would consider one lane here. And you got to beep the horn because you can't see who's around the other side of the cliff. And you got to listen. And as you're going around, there's guardrails that seem insignificant. Right on the edge of a cliff. But let's say you were tired or sleepy. Let's say you got distracted just for a moment. And your car hit that guardrail. Although it may damage your car, it may not have sounded good or felt good. It kept you and your vehicle from going over the cliff to sheer death. See, you may not have enjoyed it, but it saved you. You may not have liked it at first. You would have, if you're a free spirit, just let me drive however I want to drive. Let me live my life however I want to live. Until you wander off the cliff. And it affects you and all those around you. At this time, if you would, stand with me for the reading of God's word. Matthew 7, 13 and 14. Enter through the narrow gate. For wide is the gate, and broad is the road that leads to destruction. And many enter through it. But small is the gate, and narrow is the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. Heavenly Father, I thank you for the scriptures. I pray that you be with me. Help me to preach your word, not my own, but yours, Father. Help us all to receive it and live it, in Jesus' name. God bless you as you're seated. The important things to notice in this verse that it says that there are two gates. There's two options. One is wide and one is narrow. The wide one allows for a lot of latitude, a lot of movement. But it also, that's the way that leads to destruction. There's no confinement, no restrictions. You can do what you want. If it feels good, do it. As you're heading to hell. But narrow gives this illustration that the boundaries are moved in. There's not a lot of movement side to side. There's not a lot of latitude. There's not this willy-nilly, if it feels good, do it. And here's the interesting thing. Many enter through the wide gate that leads to destruction. This is the sad part. This is the thing that makes me nervous. There's narrow and few, wide and many. Even in this place, Scripture says there's tares growing with the wheat. Even in this place, he says there's goats in with the sheep. There is a time where it says, Lord, Lord, did we not cast out demons in your name? Did we not prophesy in your name? Did we not work many miracles in your name? And he says, away from me, you evildoer, I never knew you. You see, you might be able to operate in a gift, but do you have relationship? You may have been called. You might have the gifting. But you, do you have a lifestyle that is indicative of a relationship with your Heavenly Father? Because if you have a relationship with Him, you don't want to offend Him. Don't grieve the Holy Spirit, Scripture says. Don't do the things that are going to cause Him to turn and go away. See, this is where we walk it out day after day, week after week. We need to set up boundaries, structure, order. We have to have accountability partners. And I want to give you just a few tools to help you in your walk with Christ. Here we go. Mark 9, 43 through 48. If your hand causes you to sin, cut it off. It's better to enter into eternal life with only one hand than to go into the unquenchable fires of hell with two hands. If your foot causes you to sin, cut it off. It's better to enter eternal life with only one foot than thrown into hell with two feet. I know it's getting redundant. Hang in. And if your eye causes you to sin, gouge it out. For it's better to enter the kingdom of God with only one eye than have two eyes and thrown into hell where the maggots never die and the fire never goes out. This scripture is not talking about necessarily self-mutilization, but if anything is causing you to sin, you've got to remove it from your life. Anything, any activity, or any people that cause you to sin have to be removed. They have to be removed, period. Sin leads to separation from God. Separation from God is death. Romans 6:23 says the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life. So we have to take away some things. What does that look like? Okay. If you can't get through the day without your laptop going to a site it shouldn't go to, get rid of the laptop. Nowadays, you got the internet. The internet and phone and pad, iPads, everything. If you can't get through the day without that, shut it off. Disconnect it. Go to the library. I got quiet. If you can't have a conversation without slipping into gossip, throw your phone away. Write a letter, if you still know how to do that. Put a stamp on it. Send it out. It'll get there eventually. If you can't hang out with that guy or that gal without crossing some lines, that's not the guy and gal you need to be hanging out with. Okay, can I get real with you? If you can't go to that restaurant without ordering a little hot toddy that gets you to act stupid, do things you wish you wouldn't have done, don't go there. If you can't go to the place without doing the sin, you ought not to go. You're a child of the Most High God. He paid an ultimate price for you. He wants the best for you. So that would be a boundary. That would be something we need to establish so that we don't go into sin. Because every time we sin, it's like crucifying Him all over again. And if you know to do right and you don't do it, that's a sin. And if you do what is wrong, that's a sin. So we got to walk this out daily. And how do we do it? I need the boundaries. Narrow. I wander too far either way, there's something that bumps me, the conviction of the Holy Spirit that brings me back into a life of repentance. It gets me on the straight and narrow. And I want to make heaven my home. Therefore, I welcome the boundaries. Therefore, I welcome the accountability. Therefore, I say, look at my phone. Look at my computer. Look at my messages. Therefore, I say, here's my friends. Who am I talking to here? I'm open. I'm okay. I'm all right with it. You want to check out my finances? Check them out. You want to see what I'm spending? It's there. My wife has access to everything. Everything. She don't have to ask me. She can just go look. She can check my emails, my text messages, everything. It's there for her. I have nothing from her. There was a time in my life, it wasn't always that way, and it caused insecurity between her and I. And she would ask me, and then I'd get upset. Why are you asking? Don't you trust me? And then one day I got wise, or the Lord talked to me. You know what? Have it all. Because I do get annoyed by the questions. I don't want to feel like I'm being interrogated. So you know what? Instead of asking me, go check for yourself. Just check for yourself. Get the answers you need to make yourself feel good. And we move on, because I have nothing to hide. You come to welcome. I'm okay with that. Go check it out, baby. I don't know. You tell me if I missed anything. And then she check it out. I was like, hey, did you know you have an appointment, an email from her? No, I didn't. Okay. Praise God. Another tool. So we know we need to get rid of those things, whatever they are. Things, activities, and people. You got to get rid of them. And here's something to support that. Don't do it. 2 Corinthians 6:14 through 18. Don't team up with those who are unbelievers. How can righteousness be partner with wickedness? Great question. How can light live with darkness? What harmony can there be between Christ and the devil? How can a believer partner with an unbeliever? How can that be? And that is at verse 15. I'm going to go on. What verse 16, what agreement is there between the temple of God and idols? For we are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will be with them and walk with them, and I will be their God, and they will be my people. Therefore, come out from them and separate, says the Lord. Touch no unclean thing, and I will receive you. I will be your father, and you will be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. Don't be unequally yoked, period. Period. Young men and young ladies, if the person you're talking to does not love Jesus, I'm not talking about go to church. Because we got people in church that don't love Jesus. If they did, they would do what he commands, and not everyone does. Save the tomatoes, throw them at the devil, not me. Jesus said, those who love me obey what I command. If they don't love Jesus, you have no business being with them. Period. What's the old saying? One bad apple spoils a whole bunch. That's a worldly saying for a godly principle. So here's this whole passage. It says, what business does light have with dark, or God with the devil? The only interaction that you should be having with them is one to try to bring them to the kingdom of God. You shouldn't enter into business with someone who is unsaved. You don't have the same moral ethical code. You have no business being with an unbeliever. Why? If you can't agree on God, how are you going to agree on any other thing? In business or in life? If you're dating an unbeliever, how are you going to explain tithe to an unbeliever? How are you going to explain proper godly discipline to an unbeliever? How are you going to explain morality to Satan or someone who's serving Satan? Because if you're not serving God, oh, see, you got quiet. You guys are quiet. You're making me work for this. That's all right. I know how to work. That's okay. Not afraid of it. I was up on the roof. I'm cracking up the basement. I'll work right here, right now. If you're not serving God, by default setting, you're serving Satan. I'm sorry, and I know that's not a comfortable thing, but there's only one way, one truth, one life. That's Jesus Christ. Amen? Praise God. Lord gave us some meat and potatoes today. Hopefully we don't choke on this stuff. This is good. When you have two people, one's going to influence the other. Who's going to be the influencer? Yes, Jesus ate with the sinners and the tax collectors, the publicans, but he referred to them as sick and referred to himself as the doctor. And he says, I have come to be a doctor to the sick. And we as his representatives, I guess that would make us nurses or something to that effect, we are on his staff and we are to help the sick. And we have to bring them to the doctor. Now, if they are trying to get you out of the hospital and into the graveyard with them, because misery loves company, you ought to know something's wrong. The Holy Spirit is sounding alarms. Listen to him. Do not grieve him by ignoring him. Amen, Pastor. Good job. That's some good stuff. If you apply it, it's good. If you just walk out and be like, oh, that's a good one, yeah. You see, you got to apply these principles to your life. There's two groups of people. One's going to influence. Which one are you? Are you the influencer? And I try to talk to my kids, and it's tough being a pastor's kid. It's tough. We live in a glass house many of the times. They're kids like anyone else. They're going to make mistakes just like anyone else. Don't hold them to any higher standard than yourself. We have good standards for them. But yet, they suffer temptation the same as you. I try to tell them. I'll ask them, does that young lady go to church? I think so. That should be the first thing you know. She goes to youth group, but does she love Jesus? How am I going to ask that? I don't know. You want me to ask? No. You know, Daddy, I'm going to ask. Hey, girl, what church you go to? What's your pastor's name? What's your youth pastor's name? Do you love Jesus? Do you know the path of salvation? Do you have boundaries in your life? Are you a tither? Why is that important? I don't want my kids dating a robber. Someone who's living under a curse. Pastor, don't go there. Well, I just did. Sorry. Accountability. Iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another. Proverbs 27:17. Iron can only sharpen iron if the two pieces come together. Which reminds me of another verse. Do not forsake the gathering together of the saints, as some are in the custom of doing. You can't have church at home and say that God said, there's you by yourself and say God said that. You're deceived. You allow the devil to talk to you. Why? What does his word says? Gather together with the saints. Not at home, do your own thing and say God told you. That's a lie from the enemy. You can't show me scripture for that anywhere. Do you need to have devotions at home? Absolutely. Bible study? Sure. But you got to come back to church. You got to test the spirits. You got to know what God's talking about. You got to say, hey, Pastor, what does this passage say? What's going on here? Who is he talking to? How can I apply it to my life? Iron sharpens iron when iron comes together. Same with you having accountability partners. In James 5:16, it says, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. Prayers of a righteous person are powerful and effective. There's a few things here. Why does it say confess your sins before it says so that you may be healed? Can we stop for a moment and divide up this verse? Can we do it? Can you put the verse up there, please? James 5:16. When you find it, if you got it in your word, look it up. James 5:16. Confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. There's a prerequisite to the healing, and that is confessing of sin. If you're searching for a healing in your life and you have unrepented sin, who's saying this? Is this Pastor Felix? Is this Bishop? saying that, or is this the word of God? It's the word of God. Meaning sometimes sin can hinder your healing or your breakthrough. You're looking for a breakthrough, you're looking for a healing, and you're frustrated because you keep coming to the altar week after week, month after month, and you're praying and praying and praying, and you haven't seen a breakthrough yet. I'm not God. God's the healer. May his good and perfect will be done. But I know he said he's willing, and I know his word said by his stripes we are healed. I know some are, and sometimes they aren't. I got some stuff that I'm still praying for healing. But I'm going to give myself the utmost opportunity. What does that mean? I'm going to make sure I've confessed everything I know to confess to the Lord. Even before I got up here this morning, when I prayed with the elders, I'm like, Lord, if there's anything offensive in me, forgive me. I don't want to come up here tracking in dirt into your presence. So do yourselves a favor. You want a breakthrough in your life? Stop the sinning and confess it to the Lord. Repent and turn away from it. I'm not saying God is a God of formula, but I do see patterns in scriptures. And this, that word did tell us that once we confess our sins to one another and pray for each other, and I know he says, whatever you pray together, believing with faith, you shall receive. And we know that the prayers of a righteous person availeth much. We got to confess our sins in order to be righteous. Avoid sin at all cost. Are you getting it? This is meat and potatoes. Are you guys okay with this? Words to live by. Boundaries, accountability, structure, order, honor, respect, diligence, excellence, and faithfulness should all be attributes of those who follow Christ. Look at these words. Can these be said of your life and your lifestyle? Do you have boundaries in your life? Do you have an accountability partner that you can confess your sins to? I will caution you, make it someone you know and trust. Make it someone you know and trust who has a proven track record, who you know is going to go before the Lord with your need, not before their friends. Oh, we got to pray for brother so-and-so because he did this and thus and so. No, no, no. Now they just sin. Gossiping. Pick someone you know and trust. This week I was struggling just staying focused. Texting a brother in the Lord, please pray for me. He said, pray now. He dropped everything, start praying. That's the kind of friend you need. You drop everything and start praying right then and there. That you have a breakthrough in your life, that you get over that hurdle. Who, when you suffer, they suffer. When you cry, they cry. And when they see you stumbling, they're not going to throw stones at you or condemn you. They're going to run to help pick you up and say, brother, how can I help? How can I pray? And they're going to walk with you. Yeah, this is a tough road. They're going to be with you. An intercessor. That's what we need. So we got to establish these things in our life. We got to apply these principles. And you will be much more successful in all that you do. See, here's the interesting thing. Godly principles will carry over into your secular world. You live a life with boundaries and accountability, with structure and order and whatever, and you have respect for God and his principles, for people and those who are over you in the Lord, and respect for your elders, and you're diligent in all that you do, and you do everything with excellence as unto the Lord, and you're faithful. Man, most employers would love to have employees with this sort of work ethic, with these sort of principles in their life. Wouldn't they? They should be able to, every HR director should be flooding the churches looking for these people if they could only find them. Can they find them in this house? Will we apply these things so we can do? Now here's the important thing, not just to advance in life, but so we can be successful in ministry. Because God has a plan for each and every one of you, a purpose, not to harm you, but for hope in the future. He's got a plan and a purpose and a ministry all set aside just for you. Doesn't mean that you go try to open your own church. No, you're under this ministry umbrella. You join us. You partner with us in that area, that field of ministry, and we impact the kingdom of God together. Amen? Give the Lord a hand clap of praise, would you? Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. So just to recap, we need to live a life that's pleasing to God. There's a narrow way and there's a broad way. One's easy, one's a little more difficult. No one said being a Christian is going to be difficult. We have our challenges, but we have someone to go to. Amen? And we must remove the things that cause us to sin. If it's causing you stumble, get it out. If the relationship's not right, get rid of it. End it. We love them. We're going to pray for them, but we can't walk with them right now because we're not strong enough. There may come a time where you can be their doctor. You can help bring them to the doctor, but not right now. Don't team up or be unequally yoked. Don't do it. Don't do it. It will cost you dearly. Not in business, not in relationships, not boyfriend, girlfriend. There's no such thing in the kingdom of God as missionary dating. It is not recommended. Well, if I go on a date with him, maybe I can get him to come to church. No. He doesn't deserve a date with you unless he comes to church. You are a valued child of God. You got to know your value. You got to know your worth. Why are you going to go out with some scallywags when you're a child of the one true king? Huh? Walk around with a bunch of turkeys when you're an eagle. Says you soar on eagle's wings. Right? Nothing against them. They're not saved yet. But we got to walk in our priesthood, a holy nation, a special people, a special possession of God. You are that. You got to start to walk as that. So why are you trying to act like the world does? Why are you trying to do what the world does? No. They should be trying to follow you. I want what you have. You have peace. You have confidence. You have a security about you. Yes, I do. You want to know why? Why? Because I have Jesus. And he that is in me is greater than he that's in the world. You gotta show them that you're different. They want what you have if you only show them. Quit being a super secret agent Christian. Let the world know and be proud of it. It's not politically correct, but God will honor you. He'll protect you. He'll provide for you. Amen? Don't be unequally yoked. Last thing, accountability partners. Mentors. Godly mentors. Make sure they're displaying the fruit. Not talk. How many know there's a difference? Do they bear the fruit of a mature Christian? If they do, perhaps that could be an accountability partner or a prayer partner or something like that. And I would recommend guys with guys, girls with girls. That's a boundary. No, don't be going for no late night Bible study. Hey, we're going to read some songs of Solomon tonight. No, don't try it. No. You need Jesus right now. Some of you tried that one. Don't do it. If we start to apply these things in your life, you'll be successful in all areas. Most importantly, your walk with Christ. Amen? At this time, brother, could you come play something soft for us? We're just going to take a moment, not tarry long. But this is what I know. I was that guy who hated accountability and boundaries. Why? Because it was cramping my style, because maybe I was wandering around. Maybe I wasn't being as sharp as I thought I was. God matured me. God worked in my life. He got me to that place where I welcome that accountability. If there's things in your life or relationships in your life, let's focus for a moment and ask the Holy Spirit, what do I need to get rid of? What do I need to get rid of in my life to honor and glorify you? What relationships or things or items are there that I got to get rid of to have a more successful life, a better walk, so I can hear him more clearly so I can receive from Him more freely and I can do His work. Amen. The altars are open. If you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior and you want that freedom and that liberty, you want that power and that strength, you can come to know Him this morning. It's simple. Maybe you knew Him at one time and you backslid. Simply confess your sins to Him, ask Him to forgive you, and receive Him back again. Amen. Those of you watching at home, the same applies to you. In your very seat, in your very living room, behind that desk or computer, whatever you're watching this on, give it to the Lord. Confess your sins. Believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead and you will be saved. Let's just take a moment to reflect on Him. Please, if those of you who are can and able, just stand to your feet. Holy Spirit, come. Search our hearts and minds. Renew and refresh. Cleanse if need be. We confess every sin, every fear, every doubt, every worry. Those things aren't from God. We lay them at your feet. Fill us, renew us, strengthen us. Holy Spirit, come. We give it all to you. Praise you, Jesus. Give me the strength to end those relationships that I need to end, to form new ones. Give me the strength and boldness to make the stand. Help me put you, God, over friends and fathers and sisters and brothers and everyone else. Thank you, Lord. Blessed be your name. You are worthy of all my devotion. You are worthy of all my honor. You are worthy of all my praise, of all my lifestyle, all my words. They're all yours. Help me to walk the narrow path that leads to righteousness, that leads to heaven. Give me the strength. Give me the prayer partners. Send the right friends, better than what I can choose for myself. I pray over your people right now, Father God, in the mighty name of Jesus. I pray that you would set a boundary about them, Father God. Let them be sensitive to the prompting of your Holy Spirit. Let them receive your blessings, Father. I tear down every stronghold, every addiction in Jesus' name. Holy Spirit, come, have your way. Expand their boundaries indeed. Bless them, O Lord. Keep them safe as they leave this place. And Father, stir in their hearts a hunger and thirst for your righteousness and your word. Bring them back again safely at the next appointed time. I ask and pray in the mighty name of Jesus. And the saints of God said, amen. God bless you as you go. I love you.